should say that as an ardent practicing Catholic, this is an issue that I have studied for a long time. And what I know is over the centuries, the doctors of the church have not been able to make that definition. St. Augustine said at 3 months. You don't know. And so I don't think anybody can tell you when life begins. Human life begins. As I say, Catholic Church for centuries has been discussing this. And there are those who've decided...
The Catholic Church at the moment feels very strongly that it begins at the point of conception.
And this is like maybe 50 years or something like that. So again, over the history of the Church, this is an issue of controversy.
That, of course, is Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi on Sunday's Meet the Press on NBC, claiming that the pro-life position as it stands now in the Roman Catholic Church or in the Church in general is only 50 years old. That's the first reading of history that's taken that bent on it I've ever heard of. We're going to be talking about a biblical pro-life message, the message of life and its value and its intrinsic value and its dignity in Scripture itself. Dennis DeMauro joins us here for the first 10 minutes of this 2 hours of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in. You can join us for the next 2 hours. 1-877-623-MYIE is our call-in number and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. We're coming to you live this Tuesday, the 26th of August. After our short conversation with Dennis DeMauro, we're going to be talking with you, getting some of your comments from our Issues Etc. listener comment line. That number is always accessible to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It's 1-618-223-8384. That's the listener comment line for Issues Etc. You can leave any kind of comment there you want. We welcome it all. Then after we listen to the comments from our listeners, a little bit later in the program, Mark Strickertz will join us. We'll talk about secular liberalism, trying to say that five times fast, and the Democratic Party. Even though the language of the Democratic Party is becoming more and more religious in its tone, some think that the secular progressive movement still has a stranglehold on that political party. Mark Strickertz will join us to talk about that first part of the second hour, and then we'll round off the second hour of the program. Some audio open lines, a PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly story on religion and politics. Fox News has a roundtable discussion on values, voters, and the 2008 presidential election. That's all coming up a little bit later here on Issues Etc. Dennis DeMauro is our guest for the next 10 minutes. He's president of Northern Virginia Lutherans for Life, secretary of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, and author of the new book, A Love for Life, Christianity's Consistent Protection of the Unborn. Dennis, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
I'd like your response to Nancy Pelosi's comment on Meet the Press that the church has been unclear and unsure about when exactly life begins up until about 50 years ago.
Well, what she is doing here is she is talking about the beliefs of some of the church fathers regarding child development. You know, the last time I was talking about this idea that there was believed to be almost like a liquid in a mother, that when the child was developing, at about 40 days, that liquid turned into a baby. And that was the belief at the time with Augustine and Aquinas. Today we know that is now some of the church fathers all absolutely believed that there was a life starts at the beginning at conception. So there was some difference of opinion among just a few church fathers that did not necessarily agree with the idea of conception. So really what we have here is we have the vast majority of church fathers who say life begins at conception, some saying 40 days. But all this debate really is of no importance, because the fact is that every single one of the church fathers felt that abortion was a deeply sinful act. So what they try to do is people like Nancy Pelosi try to confuse the issue. They try to say, well, the church has been confused about when life begins, and there's been this debate. But whether or not that has occurred, and I don't think there's as much difference of opinion as she thinks, there is a unanimity on one issue. Is abortion ethical at any time? The answer has been always no. Now, where she gets that, first of all, and there are also many, many problems with what she said, and I think that's why this book is so important, because these things keep coming up over and over, and we have to refute them, because otherwise these lies are going to be out there, and people are going to start believing them. Where she gets 3 months with St. Augustine or St. Aquinas, I have no idea. I mean, I think that must be the gospel or the gospel of Roe v. Wade somehow creeping into her theology. I don't understand that. The other thing that I think is amazing is that she says there has only been a view that abortion is a sinful act in the Catholic Church for the last 50 years. That is unbelievably untrue. And it has been condemned over and over and over. Some other things that she says that I just think are kind of unbelievable. You know, she says that these things have been debated through the life of the church. What's really been going on is that abortion has been condemned through the life of the church. That she's saying that there's somehow this has been going on debate. The consistent thing that's been going on is that every time abortion becomes a problem in the last 2,000 years, the church has consistently come up and said, hey, this is a sinful act. This is something that we should not be doing.
Does the Bible even mention the word abortion? That's often used by pro-choicers to shut down any conversation about whether or not Christians should have or have an intrinsic view that protects life.
It does not. The Bible does not use the term abortion. One of the things, though, that I point out in the book, in the second chapter of the book, we talk about this term pharmakeia, which comes out in a number of times. And in the Bible, that is translated as magic arts that maybe sorcerers would use and things like that. It's also been translated by other biblical scholars as a creation of a medicine or a creation of pharmakeia and pharmaceuticals is kind of a similar word. So it's been translated that way as well. And I think the reason for that is that the sorcerers were people who made these kinds of magic potions or medicines, and that one of those potions was used to induce a miscarriage or an abortion. So when we see in the Bible this prohibition on pharmakeia or this prohibition on the magic arts, there's also a very good possibility that it was a prohibition on the creation of medicines that are used. And Alvin Schmidt and Michael Gorman, a number of other scholars, have opined that this is actually a prohibition on creating these kinds of magic potions, which some of them were used to induce abortions.
Then, with only a few minutes before our conversation comes to a close, and I want to know what we'll be talking about a little bit later as our conversation reopens again next time we talk, but is there any doubt from what Scripture does teach about the nature of life, God's role in procreation, and all of the things that God has to say about procreation, that life begins at conception and is considered worthy of protection by its Creator from that moment until natural death? Is there any doubt about it, Dennis?
There isn't. And, you know, Michael Gorman, I think, points out very well. He said a great quote, and that is that the Bible creates a perspective in which abortion simply has no place. And I think that that is important to remember, that if you look at a number of these Bible verses that I pull out and I put into the book, where God is so active in the creation of our bodies. In Job 10, he says, God will clothe me with skin and flesh, knit me together with bone and sinews. And in Psalm 139, say, for you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And even in the New Testament, we see the whole issue of a life in the womb. And when the visitation, when Elizabeth and Mary visit, and the John the Baptist leaps in the womb at being in the presence of his Lord and Savior. So all over and over in the Bible, we see that God is so intimate in creating us within the womb, and he loves us even from that moment of conception. So I think to say or to make some kind of a claim that the Bible advocates abortion is just absolutely the opposite of the biblical worldview.
Dennis, what are we going to be talking about next week? About 15 seconds here.
Well, next week, what I want to talk about, if possible, is early Christian views on abortion, how the early church saw abortion. And here we see the word abortion used in the early church writings like the Didache, specifically prohibiting it, and that will go out through the life of the church.
Dennis DeMauro is president of Northern Virginia Lutherans for Life, secretary of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, author of the new book, A Love for Life, Christianity's Consistent Protection of the Unborn. You'll find information on this book, A Love for Life, under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org, click on demand, and you'll find A Love for Life. Dennis, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you so much.
When we come back from this break, we're going to talk a little bit with you. Not live, well, if you want to do it live, you can, but our listener comment line is always open, and that means when you call and leave a comment, good, bad, critical, praising what we've had to say, questioning what we've had to say, suggesting that we say something else, we like to listen to it, and then we like to play it for the rest of the listeners. It's the Issues Etc. listener comment line right after this, 1-877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is a team effort. Your phone calls, email, and snail mail help resurrect this worldwide outreach. Now we need your help to sustain Issues Etc. by making a gift to Lutheran Public Radio today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Help support Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the thinking Christian.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Sean Anderson, Timothy Eisman, Michael Joint, Anna Nussman, Elizabeth Temple, John Rogers, Ray Earhard, Sharon Sherrill, Alan Hampton, and Esther Stockel. Thanks for your support.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come. Join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30. And find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois at trinitymillstadt.org.